Slow and slower, the U.S. economy's sluggish growth continues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. The country's GDP grew a dismal 1% in the second quarter. Gross domestic product is a tally of all the goods and services the U.S. produces. It's considered to be the measure of economic growth. This will put even more pressure on Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke. He's giving a highly anticipated speech later today. Jill Schlesinger joins us now. She does every Friday. She's editor-at-large for CBS MoneyWatch. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So, Jill, what do you think of these economic growth numbers we're seeing this morning?
Well, let's be honest. They stink. The U.S. economy grew by only basically 0.5% in the first full half of the year. My goodness. And so the current recovery, which began 2 years ago, has seen annual growth of about 2.5%. That's less than half the rate enjoyed during previous recoveries. This is really worrisome because indebted consumers and cautious corporations just don't seem ready to propel our limping economy.
Well, Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke is speaking later today. The markets have been gyrating all week in anticipation of this speech. Why is that? Why is this such a big deal?
Well, at this conference last year, Bernanke signaled that the Fed was considering buying bonds to boost the then-stalling economy. That was the first time we heard about quantitative easing. And, you know, the effect of that announcement was to spark a big 20% multi-month stock market rally. So investors are really keyed in on what he's going to say today.
Did Bernanke's actions last year, quantitative easing, make a difference in the economy?
Well, the Fed had hoped that the last round of bond buying would lead to more robust growth. But in hindsight, we know it didn't. We have those GDP numbers as proof. QE2 didn't improve the employment picture. It didn't help housing. And, you know, with the recent sell-off in global stocks, we know that bond buying only boosted stocks temporarily. So I got to be careful in worrying about whether Bernanke's going to save us this time around.
Jill Schlesinger of CBS MoneyWatch. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Hurricane Irene, meanwhile, is charging towards North Carolina this morning. The storm is projected to surge up the Atlantic coast, brushing New York City. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genza reports, Irene will also hit all sorts of businesses.
This storm is giving insurers more headaches than usual. It's not the strength of the storm that's causing the most worry. It's Irene's path. Michael Berry is a spokesman for the Insurance Information Institute. He says Irene will be one of the most significant hurricanes to hit the East Coast in years, and it's expected to affect a lot of people in the New York City area, including on Long Island and along Connecticut's coast.
This is a densely populated area with a lot of real estate that, if it were damaged, would be very expensive to rebuild.
There will be other casualties of the storm. New York may close its subway and regional train lines for the first time since 9/11. It's not just the predictable businesses that will be hurt either. Think about it. Movie box office sales are expected to be dismal on the East Coast this weekend. In Ocean City, Maryland, alcohol sales have been banned, so people will have no incentive to stick around. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Insurance companies took a dive in the stock market yesterday. Allstate fell 3%, and the markets are sliding this morning. Germany's DAX has shed 2.2%. European markets are down. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 1.5% to close at 11,149. One country bucking the trend, Japan. The Nikkei index rose a little bit this morning. Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan just announced his resignation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The State Department is expected to give its blessing soon to a controversial pipeline. The Keystone XL would carry crude from Alberta, Canada, to refineries in Texas. Marketplace's David Gura has more.
Environmentalists have organized 2 weeks of civil disobedience in Washington, protests in President Obama's front yard. I got to the White House yesterday just before noon. It was pouring rain. There were a few families, some tourists, but I didn't see any pipeline protesters.
They were probably in the paddy wagon.
That's Bill McKibben. He heads Tar Sands Action, the group that's organized the sit-in. More than 300 protesters have been arrested. McKibben says the U.S. should not allow the pipeline because of the heavy environmental toll of oil sands production.
This is a really big deal, and President Obama could shut it down by himself and therefore do far more than anything else he's done to usher in a new energy reality.
The Keystone XL is a pivotal issue for environmentalists who have endured a string of defeats in Washington. Last year, a major climate bill collapsed in Congress. Scott Siegel's an energy lobbyist. He says the environmentalists are too focused on symbolism, not real policy.
The environmental community is using their opposition to the Keystone Pipeline as a cat's paw to strike at fossil fuel development wherever it occurs.
It's a tough fight against a project that would create thousands of jobs when unemployment is still high and we're heading into an election year. But McKibben hopes President Obama is listening.
It's the rarest moment of unity for the environmental movement. And I guess in some ways we'll find out if the environmental movement's strong enough to be heard at all inside the White House.
The administration will make a decision by the end of the year. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, a planet's just been discovered in the Milky Way that's made entirely out of diamond. It has roughly the same mass as Jupiter and may be the biggest diamond in the universe. How much is it worth? Well, diamonds are roughly $5,000 a carat, and the planet has an estimated 10 to the 30th powers worth of carats, which adds up to more than our budget deficit. Imagine that. Too bad it's 4,000 light years away. Jill Schlesinger, who just spoke with us, is blogging at our website, by the way. That's at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Power outages twice a week. Factory workers getting sent home with little notice. That's the reality in China.
If we are lucky, they will tell us on Wednesday afternoon that Thursday and Friday there is no power for us.
I'm Bob Moon. Guess what? Power plants need power. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.